Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on autism when we come back. You know, once in a while, we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press, and Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it, and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. And I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are, he said, the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents and our possibilities, our lives, are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Well, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order, men and families like the Windsors and the Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, call and order our free General Law CD package. That's the place to start. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request. Why don't you do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about autism. Autism is growing at the rate of about 17% per year. That means that it doubles. Let's see if we can figure that out. If we take 72 and divide that by 17, I think it's about every 4 years. Yeah, every 4.2 years it's doubling. Now, before long, if it keeps doubling like that, at some point in time, everybody in the country would be affected by autism. So something had to be done. And in 1999, they began to phase thimerosal out of the vaccines. And so yesterday I reported to you that today, while at the very same time, over the last 8 years, we have been phasing thimerosal out of the vaccines, your child is now being exposed to more thimerosal than he was in 1999. Now, how is all that possible? Well, it's very simple. You have 35 vaccines that you're giving your child over the first 5 years of his life. So we start phasing the thimerosal out of certain of those vaccines. So your common sense says, let's see, we were giving him 35, and they've taken the thimerosal out of 15. So that means he's getting thimerosal in 20 of the vaccines, but it's out of 15, so therefore he's getting less. Now, that's what it is supposed to look like. That's what it looks like, and that's what it's supposed to look like. But in certain of those vaccines, they have increased the amount of the thimerosal that is available or that is tolerated or permitted, because the FDA permits 0.4 and the EPA permits 0.1 per kilogram. And as a result, the 20 that are still using, that is the 20 vaccines that still contain the thimerosal, now have more thimerosal. So your child actually gets more of it. Now, why would the pharmaceutical industry want to do that? It's very, very simple. They started using thimerosal in 1935 as a preservative in the vaccines. After all, it's an economic thing. It's like pasteurizing milk. You know, it's nothing personal. But pasteurized milk has a longer shelf life than raw milk, and so we want to increase the shelf life to increase our profits. And so the thimerosal went in. It's mercury. And nobody thought at the time that it was any great problem. 8 years later, we started to see a thing called autism. Well, it's not very likely that we would come to a conclusion by 1943, in just 8 years, that autism is caused by thimerosal. But by the 1980s, with autism growing by leaps and bounds, caused by the increase in the total amount of thimerosal or mercury entering into children's systems. So in the 1930s and 40s, we were getting four shots. In the 50s, we were getting five or six. In the 60s, we were getting eight or 10. In the 70s, we were getting 15 or 20. In the 80s, we were getting 20 or 25. Today, we're getting 35 shots. And they're moving that up to 50. By the year 2020, they expect to be giving your child, by the age of five, 50 vaccines. Now, you know, science is pretty good. They're not dumb. They were able to come up with an AIDS test in about 3 or 4 years after AIDS became a big problem back in the early 80s. And, you know, we have tests and double-blind tests, and we have studies made. And did you ever notice that when there's something like flu or some drug that they want to test, they go out and they test it, and they come back and say, oh, this is really safe. We have tested it, and we've done double-blind tests, and we know that this is safe. Now, don't you think we could do that with thimerosal? Well, the answer is yes, we could, but we don't, and we don't want to. And the reason that we don't want to is because we've got to come up with some other answer other than thimerosal, because you see, we're talking billions and billions of dollars worth of lawsuits here. So let's suppose that you and I were given the job of protecting the pharmaceutical industry from lawsuits over a practice that's been going on for about 75 years. Where would you do? What would you do? Where would you start? Because they've already started. They started in 1999. And this plan, this process that the pharmaceutical industry is using along with the FDA, the CDC, and the Congress of the United States borders on genius. It's satanic genius. I mean, I'm not knocking it. That's why I said to you in the last program, I said there will never be a connecting link between thimerosal and autism. And that's because if you want to put the blame somewhere else, you have to create several other possibilities. And they've already done that. They have raised the issue, and here it is in one of the documents that I got, and it's called What Causes Autism? And it says scientists aren't certain what causes autism. All right, so first thing we do is we come up with doubt. Scientists aren't conclusively convinced that global warming is going on, or scientists aren't convinced that global warming is caused by this or that or something else. And so what you do is you create about five or six different possible alternatives. They did this with tobacco. They said, well, you know, there's other things that cause cancer beside nicotine. Or beside smoking, which is certainly true. But it's certainly conclusively proved after I don't know how many millions of people died from smoking over the years, but now we know that smoking is definitely a causal factor to it. Now, look at the billions of dollars that the tobacco industry has paid. And actually, it was pennies on the dollar. That was a real neat put-up job also to save the tobacco industry, and it worked like a shot. And they're doing the same thing now with thimerosal. And so scientists aren't certain what causes autism, but it's likely that both genetics and environment play a role. Notice this. Notice that they tell you that it's genetics and environment that play a role, not thimerosal. Genetics and environment. Researchers have identified a number of genes associated with the disorder. Studies of people with autism have found irregularities in several regions of the brain. Other studies suggest that people with autism have abnormal levels of serotonin or other neurotransmitters in the brain. These abnormalities suggest that autism could result from the disruption of normal brain development early in fetal development caused by defects in genes that control brain growth and that regulate how neurons communicate with each other. While these findings are intriguing, they are preliminary and require further study. 18, 20, 30, 40 years of study. The theory that parental practices are responsible for autism has now been disproved. Okay, now they've raised genetics, environment, parental practices, irregularities in the brain, abnormal levels of serotonin, abnormal neurotransmitters in the brain. Nobody has suggested here in this separate study now that it might be mercury in the vaccines. Now, I showed you yesterday that the actions taken by the HHS, that's the Health and Human Services Department, to remove thimerosal from vaccines in 1999 were not sufficiently aggressive. As a result, thimerosal remained in some vaccines for an additional 2 years. Thimerosal remains in several vaccines, and with the addition of the influenza vaccine now being recommended for infants, children are exposed to more thimerosal today than ever before. So we started phasing it out of the vaccines, which is a part of the plan, but we're putting it in the influenza, and we're putting it in the new vaccines, and I showed you that yesterday, that, for instance, your child now is being given a mercury dose of DTaP or hepatitis B vaccines of 25 micrograms each, which exceeded this threshold by many times over. So giving your kid 25 times more than is recommended as the maximum amount in fewer vaccines. Now, they're not telling you that. See, they're saying, listen, we've taken thimerosal out of the vaccines. What they didn't tell you was we didn't take it out of all of them. And while you would say, well, if we took it out of most of the vaccines, my child is getting less of it, so therefore the incidence of autism would go down. Boys and girls, we cannot have the incidence of autism go down because it would spoil our case, our defense, when we go into trial, going to court. So what we need to do is to keep the thimerosal in the vaccine so that our defense will be, 10 years from now, when this thing goes to trial, our defense will be, well, when we took the thimerosal out of the vaccines, the rate of autism didn't go down. In fact, it went up, which is exactly correct. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's not only gone up in the last 20 years, it's going up today, and it's going to continue to go up, and it has to. Because if we took the thimerosal out of the vaccines and the incidence of autism went down, it would be the cause, wouldn't it? For which it would open the floodgates of lawsuits to the billions and billions, maybe trillions of dollars. God knows, my little sharp EL-1197 can't handle numbers like that. But it would pale in insignificance, the settlement over nicotine and cigarettes. So there is a plan underway, and there are four co-conspirators working in the plan. It's the CDC, the FDA, the Congress, and the pharmaceutical industry. Now, they've already convinced the American public, Canadian, Australian, and New Zealand public, that we have to have vaccines. Have to. Now, I showed you yesterday the cause of autism comes from God Almighty himself, who said, I'm going to lay plagues on you like you've never seen before. Now, the reason for the plagues is the practice of witchcraft. Witchcraft is a capital felony that's punishable by death. Furthermore, this particular plague, this autism, is aimed right at children, which is exactly what your Creator told you was going to do in Exodus chapter 20. He said, I'm going to lay this onto you to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and I'm going to pay you to your face. Now, nobody has come along and connected the dots and said, well, look, here in the Bible is God, and he says, I'm going to lay these diseases and plagues upon you. In some cases, we get diseases and plagues, which we deserve, you know, cancer, heart attack, and stroke. We adults, we bring it on ourselves. We smoke Camel cigarettes, and we get lung cancer, and we die from it, and we are the proximate cause of our own injury. But in some cases, our actions affect our children. Now, once they convicted us of the need for vaccines, we all bought into the program, and we've been vaccinating our children. Now, the pharmaceutical industry, I don't think, intended to put thimerosal into the vaccine to cause autism. I doubt that somebody is that wicked and evil. There are some wicked and evil people out there, but I think somebody woke up one day and said, hey, listen, we're losing millions of dollars a year to batches of vaccines that spoil, and then we have to remake them, and it costs us a lot of money. If we could put this thimerosal into the vaccine and preserve it, we could extend its shelf life, and the mercury that's in it is in such small quantities that it isn't going to harm anybody. Which is true. The amount of thimerosal that's in one dose of vaccine doesn't amount to two hoots in a whirlwind. Hell, you probably get more mercury out of the fillings in your teeth than you do out of the mercury in one vaccine. So when they gave us three or four vaccines back in the 30s and 40s, it didn't pose a problem. But as the number of vaccines increased, I don't think anybody was thinking about, well, gee, the level of mercury consumption is increasing. How much mercury can a child take, especially when their immune systems aren't functioning at full throttle at age 2 months, 3 months, and 5 months? Now, here's another little trick I might pass on to you. This SIDS, S-I-D-S, it's called Sudden Infant Death Syndrome, was a big problem. And it nowhere near the problem that autism is. And nobody could figure out, you know, what's causing the SIDS, but we noticed that the children die from SIDS immediately after they've received some vaccines. And so they blamed it on the vaccine. It's probably not the vaccine. It's probably the mercury in the vaccine, more likely, but then maybe it's the vaccine itself. Who knows? So the people in Japan, the Japanese health service, they said, well, look, instead of vaccinating babies at age 2 months, let's postpone the vaccinations to 2 years. And when they did that, the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome dropped by 50%. Now, you don't hear very much about SIDS here in the United States. Not anymore. It used to be a pretty big topic. Today, it's been dwarfed by autism. And so the powers that be now are in the process of letting the pharmaceutical industry off the hook. And in order to do that, it's like a false flag operation like 9/11, or a false flag operation like Pearl Harbor, or a false flag operation like the Lusitania, the Gulf of Tonkin, or the battleship Maine. We've got to get people's attention off of the central issue and onto a rabbit trail. Okay, so the rabbit trail is genetic, environmental, parental practice, irregularities in the brain, abnormal levels of serotonin, abnormal neurotransmitters in the brain. And we have taken thimerosal out of the vaccine starting in 1999, and yet the amount or the level of autism is continually going up, which proves that the thimerosal in the vaccines was not the cause of autism. And that's the objective. We've got to prove that the thimerosal wasn't the cause. So, like tobacco, we're going to have these other rabbit trails thrown out in front of us from now on. That's why I told you yesterday, I said, forget about the connecting link with thimerosal. Now, let me go back to the original document. I'm shifting back and forth between documents here. And I want to give you the source of the information here. It's www.thenationalautismassociation.com. It's all one word. When you type this in to go to the webpage, it's nationalautismassociation.org. And you're looking for the thimerosal.php. And they've got 17 reasons why thimerosal should be taken out of the vaccines. Now, this group, this organization called the National Autism Association, is not opposed to vaccinations. They're just opposed to the thimerosal in the vaccines. I just went a step further and said, well, the vaccination itself is an act of witchcraft for which you people are going to pay the penalty. So it's either you give up the vaccines and go back to practicing the law of God and the Ten Commandments, or you continue on with the vaccines and you continue on with autism. You know, choice is yours. But don't count on the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, the Congress, or the pharmaceutical industry to fess up now to what they've done in the past, or to what they're going to continue doing in the future. They're going to cover it up, and boy, are they going to cover it up real, real good. All right, now the second document that you need here is called www.ninds.nih.gov/disorders/autism. Now, the two documents together tell you quite a story. This is the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. This is the mainline government publication, a five-page report, for which they're telling us, and get this, now I've showed you this already, they haven't mentioned thimerosal. Now, I'm just a plumber, but let me tell you that there's no autism problem in Nepal or Tibet. If you go to societies, if you go to groups of people that are isolated from vaccines and vaccinations, you don't have autism. And remember, I showed you in the first two programs, I said, whatever it is that we're doing here in America, it cuts across racial boundaries. This isn't something that the blacks have or Hispanics have or some religious group like the Mormons don't have and other religious groups do. It affects the Mormons, the Catholics, the Protestants, and the Jews. So it ain't religious. It affects blacks, whites, and Indians, and all colors in between. So it's not racial. It covers social groups. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whether you go to church or don't go to church. It covers all groups. And there's one thing that we do in America that all of us in the entire society do. 89% of us are vaccinated. 89%. There's only 11% of us that aren't. And it wouldn't take very much to go to the 11% that aren't vaccinated and take a look at autism and say, is there any autism in the group that's 11% of the population that isn't vaccinated? And you can rest assured, now, I'm not a genius, and you can rest assured that the people that are in control of the CDC know full well how to isolate, how to identify, and to prove what the cause of autism is. They have the capacity. But they're not doing it, they haven't done it, and they're not going to do it. You can rest assured that the Food and Drug Administration, if they put their minds to it, could isolate autism. They would go to various groups in the United States that don't have it and find out, well, what is it that we're doing? We do this, you know, when a contagious disease comes up, we rush right out and we figure out what causes it. It could be bird flu. You know, when the bird flu came up, they isolated that. They identified where the chickens came from and what province of China it came from. Hell, they had that done in 90 days. And they've been working on this autism thing now for 25 years that I know of, and they're sitting here saying, listen to this, scientists aren't certain what causes autism. We know what causes bird flu. We know what causes TB. We know what causes venereal disease. We know what causes AIDS. We know what causes lung cancer. But we can't figure out what causes autism. It's just beyond us. Oh, God, we don't know. What a crock of BS. All right, so now I've been giving you that report. Now listen, going back now to the National Autism Association, I told you yesterday that they have identified 76 corresponding symptoms that come from mercury poisoning from two sources. You can take the symptoms that come from people that have been given thimerosal in their vaccines, and they come up with 76 symptoms. Then you can go over here and you can take a look at the literature and say, well, what are the symptoms of people, what do they complain about when they are poisoned with mercury? Whether they get the mercury out of tuna fish, or they get the mercury out of thermometers, or they get it out of a gold mine, or, you know, if they're exposed to mercury toxicity, what are the symptoms? And the 76 symptoms are identical. So right away, you know, without really being too smart and without having gone to college and without doing a double-blind study and without having any letters after my name, just being a crummy plumber and all, I put two and two together and I say, that'd be an interesting thing for scientists to study, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, why don't you take a look at the symptoms of the people that have autism and the symptoms of the people that suffer from mercury toxicity, and then take on the possibility that it might be the mercury in the vaccines, and let's take a look around the world at societies and groups of people that don't practice vaccination. You know, it wouldn't take very long for these people that are real smart with letters after their names to put two and two together, and they got millions and millions of dollars to do it with, and they could come up with a cause. They could come up with a connecting link. But when and if that happened, can you imagine the lawsuits? Now, you people out there, some of you listening to my voice right now have children with autism. Wouldn't you just be mad as hell if you found out that the vaccine that you gave your child caused that autism? And wouldn't you want to sue the vaccine manufacturer? Especially if you knew that as early as 1943, that somebody waved the flag and said, hey, listen, we got a problem here. Now, I think that you people out there would just come unhinged. And so the objective here of these four agencies, remember this is the CDC down in Atlanta, Georgia, and the FDA up in Washington, and the Congress and the pharmaceutical industry, they got to put a lid on this. I mean, we're talking about big bucks. We're talking about a big scandal here. We got to put the lid on it. So everybody, Republicans and Democrats alike, are going to work real hard to protect the pharmaceutical industry, because those pharmaceuticals, they pay for those election campaigns, both Republicans and Democrats. Now, number 13, they point out that thimerosal should be removed from all of those vaccines. No amount of mercury is appropriate in any childhood vaccine. Now, that's the position of the National Autism Association. They're sitting there saying, you shouldn't put any mercury, a deadly, toxic neurotoxin, into a vaccine. You shouldn't put it into the food supply. You shouldn't put it in the water supply. You shouldn't give it to people at all, and especially children. That's their position. But as I've already showed you, the actions taken by the Health and Human Services Agency, or the department, to remove thimerosal from vaccines in 1999 were not sufficiently aggressive. Why weren't they sufficiently aggressive? Why not take it out? Because if you took it all out at a given time, like 1999, and if in fact it is the cause of autism, then the rate of autism would drop precipitously immediately, just like SIDS dropped precipitously immediately when the Japanese stopped vaccinating babies at age 2 months and postponed it to 2 years. The incidence of SIDS dropped by 50%. So immediately you can say, well, it's the vaccines that are causing this. Well, the thing that gets it off, or gets the pharmaceuticals off on SIDS is, well, you were giving the vaccine too early to your child at 2 months. You should have waited until 2 years. If you wanted to eliminate the other 50% of the SIDS deaths, stop vaccinating altogether. And then somebody's going to say, well, if we stopped vaccinating altogether, then our children would be dying from these diseases. Now, diseases come from where? They come from God. They are a punishment that you receive for violation of the law. You feed your children pig, and your children develop diseases, and the diseases kill your child. And so the pharmaceutical people come along and say, listen, don't stop eating pig. Don't obey God and keep his commandments. Go ahead and violate the law, and we'll sell you forgiveness of sin in the form of a vaccine so that you can violate the law of God, and the penalty which is prescribed by God for that violation can be circumvented. So this God comes along and he says, you know, I don't like you people giving me the finger, number one. And then number two, not only are you giving me the finger, but you're not paying attention to me when I speak. And that's pretty damn rude and obnoxious. So here's what I'm going to do to you. So I pointed out to you yesterday, he said here in Deuteronomy 7:10, he said, I'm going to pay you people to your face. And let me tell you, autism is just about as direct a payment to your face as you can get. That along with Lou Gehrig's disease and cancer and a couple others. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. But the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. So whatever you do, folks, don't blame those good folks out there. Just blame me. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, going back then to the National Autism Association, which just happens to be located locally here. As a matter of fact, it's in Nixa, Missouri. Nixa, Missouri, it's up the road here a piece. It's a fur piece, probably 50, 60 miles, but their address is 1330 West Schatz Lane, S-C-H-A-T-Z Lane, Nixa, N-I-X-A, Missouri, M-O. and the zip code is 65714. That's the National Autism Association. And if you'd like more information, call 877-622-2884. Their telephone number again is 877-622-2884. Or if you can spell, it's 877-NAA-AUTISM. 877-NAA-AUTISM. NAA is National Autism Association, and autism is AUTISM. Or if you'd like to place an order, call 866-NAA-ORDERS, and that's 866-NAA-ORDERS. Also translated into 866-622-6733. That's 866-622-6733. Now, that's the National Autism Association. And that's a 9-page report. Now, I'm not going to cover everything in here, but I wanted to cover these 17 points for you. And then I want to cover a few of these mercury toxicity symptoms, the toxic symptoms that you get from mercury poisoning. Number 13, they tell us that thimerosal should be removed from all of those vaccines. No amount of mercury is appropriate in any childhood vaccine. So I already showed you they are putting more of the mercury into some of the vaccines and taking the mercury out of some of the vaccines, so that the net effect is you're getting more and more mercury in the vaccine package total. They're not telling you that. Now, the CDC in general and the National Immunization Program in particular are conflicted in their duties to monitor the safety of vaccines, while also charged with the responsibility of purchasing vaccines for resale, as well as promoting increased immunization rates. You ever notice they're out here trying to tell you to go get vaccinated? Make sure your kid is vaccinated. Now, I want to tell you that vaccination is purely voluntary. There are only two states in the United States that have what we would call a truly mandatory regime. Two. The other 48 states are all voluntary. The two states that are mandatory are Mississippi and West Virginia. So if you live in Mississippi or West Virginia and you don't want your child vaccinated, you'll have to get a court order. You need a court order. It's not impossible. It's fairly simple to do. And there are three modalities that you can use to be exempted. One is called personal choice, which won't work in Mississippi or West Virginia. Second is a medical determination. That will work both in Mississippi and West Virginia. And the third is religious objector. That'll work in Mississippi and West Virginia with a court order. So you're going to go into the court and you're going to sue the school board and demand that they don't vaccinate your child. Now, in most other states, Missouri, to give you an illustration, we have what's called a waiver here. A waiver. All you do is walk into the school and tell them, give me the waiver. Waiver. And then the school nurse, she'll look at you like, oh, you know about the waiver, eh? And she'll go get the form book and bring it over. And you fill out this waiver and you sign it. Now, what's your objection? Well, I'm a religious objector. I'm a Hebrew and I don't practice vaccinations. Okay. So you're exempted. Now, the law of general applicability says that all children in Missouri must be vaccinated. Okay. That's the rule. All children must be vaccinated. And then the legislature writes into the statute, but except those that are immune compromised. Let's suppose that you've got AIDS or maybe you've got some other disease. An autoimmune disease like lupus. Hell, what vaccine could kill you? And so you go to your doctor, and the doctor says, oh, my God, whatever you do, don't shoot this kid up. And so you get a medical waiver. So you can get a religious waiver, you can get a medical waiver. In some states, like California, you can get a personal waiver. You know, there's three, you know, personal waiver, medical waiver, or religious exemption. And so you got to check the statutes in your state. Now, there's only two bad states. That's Mississippi and West Virginia, and I say bad in that those legislatures have determined we don't want, you know, gold brickers. If you're serious, go get a court order. Go get a court order. Now, of course, if you're not that serious and you're not willing to spend the money to go get the court order, well, then obviously then it's not that serious to you, and so then the vaccine is not truly and sincerely held, or your objection isn't truly and sincerely held. Number 15, there is inadequate research regarding ethyl mercury, neurotoxicity, and nephrotoxicity. And there is inadequate research regarding the relationship between autism and the use of mercury-containing vaccines. And number 17, to date, studies conducted or funded by the CDC that purportedly dispute any correlation between autism and vaccine injury have been of poor design, underpowered, and fatally flawed. The CDC's rush to support and promote such research is reflective of a philosophical conflict in looking fairly at emerging theories and clinical data related to adverse reactions from vaccines, which is what I told you a little earlier. The CDC could put a study together, and in 90 days, they could either connect thimerosal to autism or prove that it's false. I mean, if they wanted to, they'd do that. They can do it with bird flu. They can do it with any other infectious or contagious disease or with maladies like AIDS. They've already done it in the past. They've got the technology. They've got the means. They've done it in the past. So when they come to you and say, scientists aren't certain what causes autism, well, that tells you right away because they don't want to know. They don't want to know. Scientists don't know what causes lung cancer. We don't know what the connecting link between cigarette smoking and lung cancer is. It took them 40 years to figure it out. They finally figured it out. When it got to the point where you couldn't deny it anymore, well, then they admitted to it. Now they're a little smarter on this one.
a little smarter on this one. They know that ultimately there's going to be a connecting link unless they do something pretty serious and pretty dramatic. And so they started in 99 under Bill Clinton. And they said, okay, let's start taking the thimerosal out of the vaccines. Very smart on their part. Very this genius. And yet, after taking the thimerosal out of the vaccines, the rate of autism continues to go up, which proves that it's not the thimerosal, it's something else. So they advanced to us, well, what else could it be? Well, it could be genetic, it could be environmental, it could be parental practices, it could be irregularities in the brain, it could be abnormal levels of serotonin, or it could be abnormal neurotransmitters in the brain. We don't put down here number 7, or it could be thimerosal. We leave that one out. We give you 6 other alternatives. We do not give you the 7th alternative. We deny that it's thimerosal, and then we give you 6 other alternatives. Then we say to you, we have taken the thimerosal out of the vaccines. What more can we do? What they don't tell you is that they increased the thimerosal in the remaining vaccines that they didn't take it out of. So you take your kid in for the same 35 shots. He gets 20 shots that have no thimerosal. He gets 15 shots that have more thimerosal than the original 35. And then they're going to add another 15 to make sure that the level of thimerosal is actually the same or greater, but that you don't know about it. Now that, boys and girls, is going to prove their case. And nobody's ever going to go to Nepal or Tibet or to the Amazon jungles and say, well, now let's take a group of people that aren't vaccinated and see what their autism rate is. That's called the placebo test. All right, now I said we'd take a look at some of these symptoms over here. It's in the National Autism. It's on page 49. And you can get this report, by the way, by simply going to the National Autism Association. And if you're on the web, all you got to do is punch in www.nationalautismassociation.org/thimerosal.php. And then you can get the same report. And if you're not on the web and you just need to call them, you know, why don't you call the National Autism Association? I mean, I think you could get that. You could probably get that from information. Can you just dial information? 1-411, information. And just tell that nice lady on the end of the line there, I want the National Autism Association, and they're located in Nixa, Missouri. N-I-X-A, Nixa, Missouri. I think they could give you the number, but I'll do it for you. It's called 877-N-A-A-A-U-T-I-S-M. For those of you that can spell, it's 877-N-A-A-A-U-T-I-S-M. And if you want that translated, the telephone number is 877-622-2884. That's 877-622-2884. Dynamite report. Now, let me give you some samples of it. If you were suffering from mercury poisoning and it was psychiatric, you would suffer from social deficits, shyness, and social withdrawal. Remember that kid, you know, he's a South Korean kid up there in Virginia, and he went out and he shot 30 people? Remember that? He was suffering from social deficits, shyness, and social withdrawal. And I'll bet you that kid had all 30 of his vaccinations. You know that? And then he became depressed, and I'll bet you he was on some antipsychotic drug. And from what I've read so far, all of the school shootings so far in the United States, the shooters have been on antipsychotic drugs, every one of them. I haven't been able to document that, you know, verbatim, but I've seen some reports that have made that claim. Okay, now if you've got autism, you suffer from social deficits, social withdrawal, and shyness. So let's check that one. And then we'll say, well, gee, maybe it's just a coincidence. Okay, now disturbances. Now there are one type of disturbance. There are depression, mood swings, and mask face. And then they've got autism over here, depressive traits, mood swings, and flat effect. Okay, so they word it a little differently, but they've got essentially the same thing, anxiety. Schizoid tendencies, OCD traits, comes from mercury poisoning. Schizophrenic and OCD traits and repetitiveness comes from autism. If you're suffering from mercury poisoning, you may suffer a symptom like lacks eye contact, hesitant to encourage others. And if you've got autism, you may lack of eye contact, avoids conversation. And then we've got irrational fears. If you've got mercury poisoning, you may have some irrational fears like irritability, aggression, and temper tantrums. If you have autism, you may have irritability, aggression, and temper tantrums. If you have mercury poisoning, you may have impaired face recognition. And if you have autism, you may have impaired face recognition. I'm going to draw the line right there. Check mark. 1, 2, 3. That's 6 out of 6. So the first 6 symptoms that we observe in people who suffer from mercury poisoning and the first 6 symptoms that we see from people who are suffering from autism are 100%. How do you like that? And I'm not even a CDC scientist. I've never been to the FDA. I don't have any letters after my name. I'm just reading a report here. Just a reporter. And by the way, you haven't seen Katie Couric do a report, and you haven't seen 60 Minutes do a report either. Now, let me tell you why. You will never see the mainline news agencies like CBS, NBC, or ABC, or Time, Newsweek, and U.S. News and World Report, or USA Today, or the Gannett Papers, or the Hearst Papers, or anybody else do this. And it's because the pharmaceutical industry advertises in all of those mediums, just like the tobacco industry used to do. Now, let me give you a little report here. Two investigative reporters down in Tampa, Florida, wanted to do a story on milk. So they went out and they researched pasteurized milk. And they came up with a report, and they came into their boss, and they said, hey, let's put this on the air. This is a barn burner. This will just shock everybody, and it tells the truth about milk. So the TV station, this is a local. This isn't a national 60 Minutes or Dateline program. This is just a local public affairs program down here in one of the TV stations in Tampa, Florida. So they take a lot of advertising from the Milk Council. And so when the Milk Council gets wind of the fact that they're going to do this expose down here in Tampa, Florida, they call up the TV station. They say, you put that on, and we're going to jerk our advertising from you. Then to make sure that they put some pressure on them, they called their network affiliate, CBS. I don't know which one it was, CBS, NBC, and said, we'll jerk our advertising from all your damn stations nationwide if you do this. And so it didn't take anybody very long to figure out that we're not going to publish this. We're not going to promote it. We're not going to make mention of it. Now, that's the power of the milk industry in America. So you're never going to hear a report about milk and pasteurized milk, homogenized milk, and the diseases that come from it. Degenerative diseases. It eliminated the contagious diseases, and then we saddled us with a bunch of chronic degenerative diseases, which kills about 10 times more people than the contagious diseases caused. So what that boiled down to is that, see, we decided that that we didn't want to obey God and keep His commandments. And so as a result of that, we said, we're getting sick. We're getting contagious diseases here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pasteurize the milk. It is true that God is punishing us with these contagious diseases, but we'll beat God at His own game and we'll pasteurize the milk. And so as a result of that, we've got degenerative diseases that cause 10 times more deaths and more disease than the contagious diseases ever caused. Now, my conclusion would be, I think we ought to just drink clean milk. You know, clean raw milk, I think, would solve our problem rather than continue to put dirty pasteurized milk out there on the marketplace. But then, you know, that's a choice that people had to make, and they made it, and so there you are. It doesn't affect me. I drink clean, raw milk, and I've got good health, and I'm not suffering from degenerative diseases or contagious diseases. But as a result of that, I have to practice the Ten Commandments, and I have to practice all of the health laws of the Bible, which I think are a lot less onerous than the diseases and et cetera. All right, let's take a second example. The tobacco industry. 60 Minutes. Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes. This is about, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. Mike Wallace, he says, well, we're going to blow the tobacco industry right out of the water. So they went out and they got all this neat information from a whistleblower inside the tobacco industry. I mean, they had the documents right there and said, well, we're going to blow this out of the water. The tobacco industry comes to CBS and says, if you air that, we'll jerk our advertising from CBS. And we're talking about, you know, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising. And CBS told 60 Minutes, that's their, you know, subsidiary, don't air that program. And you probably heard that story. Mike Wallace, you know, was on 60 Minutes, and he said the pressure that was put on them from the head office there at CBS was so great they couldn't put it on. All right, so now let's take a look at Jim Lehrer and ADM. ADM, about every year, gets caught price fixing or doing something that's illegal, and they get fined, you know, sometimes $10, $20, $30 million, something like that. Nobody ever goes to jail, but they get fined, and they just plead guilty or no contest. They plead no contest to the charges of the SEC or to the FDA or whatever the agency is. And I have never yet, and I've been watching that McNeil Lehrer guy for 20 years, I think, at least, and never once has the Lehrer News Hour ever reported on ADM, and that's because ADM is their primary contributor, primary sponsor. So that just goes to show you how honest Jim Lehrer is. Now, remember at the beginning of today's program, I read you a little story here from a guy. It says, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. Well, John Swinton was a newspaper editor with the New York Tribune in 1880. And he went to a function, and at the function they said, hey, let's have a toast to the independent press. And old Swinton stood up and he said, what in the hell is this independent press crap you're trying to foist off here? Listen to his story again. He says, Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know what, and I know it. This is in 1880. Now, honest to God, do you believe that Katie Couric and Brian Williams are telling you the truth? Do you think that Jim Lehrer, when he comes on the air at night, he's out here just exposing all of the graft and corruption that's going on? They expose some graft and corruption, there's no doubt about it. But they're not going to ever tell you the truth about autism. That's too big a story. They're never going to tell you the truth about pasteurized milk. That's too big a story. They'll tell you about some representative or senator that's taking bribes, like, you know, Randy Cunningham or Jack Abramoff. Or they'll zero in, you know, on some political side, you know, like anti-war or pro-war in Iraq. I mean, you'll get all of this, what appears to be, you know, just dog-eat-dog exposés that are going on. See? But when it gets right down to exposing what it is that's killing you, like chlorine in your drinking water or fluoride in your drinking water. And I've pointed out to you, you've got a thing here called iatrogenic disease, kills 130,000 people a year. It's the equivalent of how many? 747s? 130,000 a year. Let's just plug that one in. And a 747 holds about 400 people, so divided by 400, that's 325 747 crashes a year. That'd be damn near one a day. You know, if we had a 747 crashing, killing 400 people every day, Monday through Friday, 7 days a week, you know, year round. I mean, you know, you people would sit up and take notes. Well, we're killing that many people in the doctor's offices and in the clinics and the hospitals by doctor-induced errors and mistakes that are totally preventable, 100% preventable. It isn't like a guy's got a heart attack, comes to the hospital, and they did everything they could, and he died anyway. That's not iatrogenic. Iatrogenic is when the guy has a heart attack, he comes to the hospital. He's in pretty good condition, and they give him the wrong drug, and the wrong drug throws him into cardiac arrest, and he dies. And so on his death certificate, they put on there, well, he died of cardiac arrest. He came to the hospital because he had a heart attack. And we did everything we could, but we're sorry as hell the poor guy died. Yeah, he died because you gave him the wrong drug. And you could have gave him the wrong or the right drug, and you could have saved his life, but we couldn't read the doctor's handwriting, or. And that's what we're facing here with autism. And the National Autism Association has a report, and in their report, they've got 76 symptoms. Boys and girls, 76 symptoms that are identical, exactly the same as mercury poisoning. You can go to the physician's desk reference and look up mercury poisoning, and it'll have 76 symptoms. And that's exactly what autism mimics. And yet, we read from a government publication, scientists aren't certain what causes autism. We just can't figure it out. We just don't know. But we've got six ideas. We think it could be genetic, environmental, parental practices, irregularities in the brain, abnormal levels of serotonin, abnormal neurotransmitters in the brain. But we're not even going to put number seven down there, that it's thimerosal mercury in the brain. We're not going to put that down. But we're going to put these other six possibilities down. And then we're going to just search like crazy. We're just going to burn the midnight oil looking for the cause of autism. But we're never going to find it, because it would just cost the pharmaceutical industry too much money. So there's that part of the story on autism. Now, we'll be back tomorrow night with more. But I'm out of time, so I got to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Your time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about autism. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.